So let me begin by thanking the organizers for inviting me to speak here. The talk is based, the talk will be a very brief review, which nobody will recognize as a review. And most of it will be based on this paper that Arkady Tsaitlin and I wrote not too long ago. Solving a four-dimensional quantum field theory is hard in general. In the case of N equals 4 super Young Mills, things are supposed to be slightly easier because of the ADS-CFT correspondence, which in principle reduces the problem to finding the solution of a two-dimensional quantum field theory instead, namely the Wolschi theory for strings in ADS-5 cross S5, defined either as a Green-Schwarz string or as a pure spinner string. So out of all this story, we would like to get a set of things, some of which are listed here in the order of things that we might be able to get them. So first, the spectrum of dimensions, for which we came to know a lot about. And then correlation functions, Wilson loops, scattering amplitudes, and whatnot, which in string theory get translated into somewhat fewer sets of quantities that one needs to compute, like dimensions of operators, anomalous two-dimensional anomalous dimensions of operators and their correlation functions, partition functions, etc., etc. And once we are all done with this, we are supposed to go on to QCD and solve that as well, perhaps. anyhow, so here is with this motivation, which is a poor substitute for Arkady's motivation earlier today. Here is the plan. I will not review much of the Green-Schwarz string, since it was reviewed by Kostya already. I will say a few words about what we know about long operators, mainly to motivate going to short operators. And then I will describe a little bit about the organization of states, the structure of the corrections to the energy, at least what do we expect the structure to be, what approaches we have to compute them, and then eventually I will settle on the semi-classical approach and describe some calculation of various pieces of the dimension of various pieces of the Konishi multiplet. And eventually, after my time is up, I will get to the summary. Here is the Green-Schwarz string in ADS. Kostya told you pretty much everything you need to know today about it. So this would be the action written in a short form and in an expanded form. Has two-dimensional Lorentz invariance. Most importantly, it has PSU 2.2/4 invariance, which, you see it here, but you don't see it anymore after kappa symmetry is fixed. It has two-dimensional conformal invariance, at least up to two loops. Excuse me. Now, the problem we would first like to solve is really a spectral problem. Namely, we would like to know the energies of string states, or the corresponding dual dimensions. So both gauge theory operators as well as the string states are organized in representations of this symmetry group of PSU 2.2/4. In principle, they are given by a list of charges. Here, energy, spins, R charges, and perhaps other things as well. And the principle of comparison, at least as it's been used up to now, is you identify the charges and hope for the best. Nevertheless, you do need additional insight because there are very many states which do carry the same quantum numbers. So out of that multitude on each side, you have to fish the right one and do the right comparison. And besides this, there are also quantum numbers which you don't immediately see on each side of the correspondence. Most notably would be what is the meaning of string level on the gauge theory side, and what would be the meaning of three-level dimension of operators on the string side, though there would be something to be said about the latter one. So the idea would be to show and compute each of the two sides of this equality, and as an equation would be this one. The energy would be a function of the string tension, this set of charges, and perhaps additional quantum numbers, such as folds, number of cusps, I don't know, whatever else you might like to put in there. This would be the dimension on the dual gauge theory side. So up to now we have a really good understanding of long operators due to the asymptotic Bethe-Ansatz that's on the one side, and on the other side because of a long list of calculations done in string theory, mainly in the semi-classical regime. Here is a list of limits that have been computed. They all involve large charges of some kind of or another. Usually the large charges are actual large charges on the gauge theory side, and on the string theory side, the main quantity would be a charge density, which is related to the charge by multiplication of square root of lambda. So a large charge here can actually mean a large but not all that large charge density, as it becomes particularly large once multiplied with square root of lambda. So here are some limits that have been considered. And an important example, or better said, an important set of examples, is provided by twist two spin S operators. They have been discussed to death, maybe, in the very large spin limit, where they are described, well, they are generically described by spinning strings of some sort. And in the large spin limit, this, the corresponding spinning string solution simplifies a lot. and its energy starts looking, starts like with something proportional to the spin, because essentially the endpoints of the string. And then there are corrections which go like the logarithm of the spin, which come from the stretching of the string. So in this semi-classical limit, namely large toothed coupling, and also large spin density, the energy looks like this. It's entirely described by a universal scaling function, which looks like that. This one was constructed a number of years ago. Then there was the famous minus 3 log 2, and then the next correction. Now, the reason to bring up these this particular set of operators, besides the fact that they have been described and discussed in this limit, is that among them there is also one of the simplest possible excited string states there is. Namely, for s equals to 4, it's supposed to be one of the strings that lie on the first excited string level. A small spin analysis has been carried out earlier this year, or late last year, and we'll come back to that a little later. So this is the end of the review, incidentally. The story for short operators is also shorter because we know substantially less. There are a number of integrability-based results based more or less on improving the asymptotic Bethe-Ansatz by either including Lüscher corrections, promoting it to TBA, thermodynamic Bethe-Ansatz, or in the Y variables. Now, it's strange. Now, the aim here will be to discuss, as I was mentioning earlier, the general structure of the corrections to the energy of such quantum string states, and also evaluate the leading 1 over root lambda corrections to the dimension of the lightest massive state of the string, namely the ones dual to the Konischer operator. If the procedure that will be advocated actually goes through, then it should not be particularly complicated to extend this analysis to twist two operators with arbitrary but finite spin. However, even though we will find some result, the general message will be that we do need a much better understanding of the quantum string in ADS5 cross S5. So, first of all, I guess I should argue that the Konischer multiplet and the first excited string level are somewhat related to each other. Excuse me. So to that end, let's have a close look at the organization of string states. Now, because at least in the large tooth coupling limit, the ADS space is nearly flat, one would expect that the organization of states has something to do with, well, it's fairly closely related to that that takes place in flat space. So this would be the flat space spectrum described by a single integer n, which has to do with the number of oscillators. Here are two of the string levels, namely the massless level, which has to do with the supergravity states. There would be 2 to the 8 states there. And also the first excited string level, which has more states, namely 2 to the 16. They organize in SO9 representations, which would be these ones. And all these states form a single multiplet, just by counting. So they all have the same mass. However, one certainly expects that once the ADS5 process 5 background or any other background is included, then this degeneracy is lifted. They will start having slightly different masses. And one certainly would expect that because if one goes to the other end of the spectrum, the operators corresponding to these states have different dimensions. So once you turn on the curvature, one should organize everything in terms of representations of this group. Because the string is the states are massive, they should make up long multiplets of this group. The highest weight representations of these multiplets are organized are labeled by the bosonic subgroup, namely this one. What is remarkable is that the spectrum can indeed be organized. What is remarkable is that the flat space spectrum that was on the previous slide, as well as the higher levels that were not on the previous slide, can be organized in representations of PSU2.2/4. The strategy to do that is fairly straightforward once you know it. So you start from the SO9 representations that are natural in flat space. You break them up in representations of SO4 cross SO5. Then you take these and compare them with representations of SO4 cross SO6. And then once you see which ones of these match these guys, you take these and promote them to representations of SO2.4 cross SO6. And once you've done that, you have everything you need to construct representations there. So the first excited string level turns out to have exactly the same structure as the Konishi multiplet. Namely, it is basically all 16 possible cues acting in all possible ways on a singlet state of SO4 cross SO6. One can certainly take these and tensor them with scalar spherical harmonics, and once one does that, one gets the full one gets the Kaluza-Klein friends of the of this Konishi multiplet. So if you put everything together, if you take this formal sum, then basically you get everything that exists on the first excited string state in 10 dimensions. So with this in mind, if one assumes that nothing fancy happens as you go from weak to strong coupling, and namely that levels don't cross and multiplets don't really get rearranged, namely a piece of one multiplet doesn't go into another and so on, then it is natural to identify the Konishi multiplet with the piece of the first excited string level that has no momentum in these SO6 directions. And this is what you get. And this has been stolen from this paper. So there are a few blue dots in here, and those will be the states that we'll consider a little bit later. But, basically, these are all the states, all the 2 to the 16 states. Well, that includes those that didn't fit on the slide that exist in the Konishi multiplet. So this is how one would organize the states, namely in representations of PSU2.2/4, and also one can relate them to flat space string states. So with this in mind, how would one go about to compute quantum corrections to energies of string states of generic length or generic flat space energy? So there are a few. Four of them are listed here. So there can be, in principle, a vertex operator approach. Namely, you guess some vertex operators. You compute their two-dimensional dimension, say, as a perturbation in the ADS5 process 5 sigma model. And then you solve the marginality condition, and that would determine for you the correct vertex operators. And from the solution of the marginality condition, one can find the energy and the corrections to it. In roughly the same spirit, one can start with, say, a light cone gauge fixed theory and compute corrections to Fock space states and therefore also to the energy of Fock space states. Then there is a semi-classical approach, which will be the one that we will adopt later. Namely, one identifies generic string states as limits of semi-classical states. Namely, take a solution, a classical solution of string equations of motion, and then analytically continue them to finite charges, not finite charge densities, and do the same with the corrections to their energies. And last but probably not least, there is a space-time effective action approach, namely compute the effective action, the string effective action, that is, that includes the supergravity states as well as the massive string states, and then solve the massive string equations of motion, and in the process find from those equations find the energy and the corrections to them. In terms of the corrections to the masses of string states. So here one would need to worry about, say, kinetic term mixing about, among various massive string states and so on and so forth. But, well, if one is sufficiently powerful, one can do that. So what would be the structure that one can expect? There are informations that come from these various sources. Even though one doesn't, one cannot really do it at the moment. One cannot really do the calculations explicitly in all of them. So, if one puts together the fact that the curvature is weak, and the fact that the flat space spectrum and the ADS spectrum are essentially, well, can be organized in essentially the same way. One finds that, I think I broke your pointer. Okay, never mind. One finds that the leading term is curvature independent and is basically the same as in flat space. Which is something that was said long before by Gubser, Klebanov, and Polyakov, I guess. Now, corrections to this come in principle in powers of the fourth root of the Tieto coupling. And all of these would come from direct corrections to the two-dimensional matrix of dimensions of vertex operators, as well as somewhat odd powers here would come from the actual diagonalization of those of that matrix of dimensions. Now, for our purpose, it turns out to be useful to split this in two pieces, an analytic part and a non-analytic part. The analytic part is defined to be just a set of odd powers of the fourth root of lambda, and the non-analytic part is defined to be the set of even powers of the fourth root of lambda. The first kind come directly from corrections to the dimensions of vertex operators or direct corrections to string masses. The second one has a somewhat murky origin as far as the two-dimensional dimension matrix goes, or at least in principle has. if it's there at all. From a semi-classical perspective, it comes from certain two-dimensional very light modes. And in fact, the conjecture would be that it's never present. So let's see how this would work in flat space. So this is the two-dimensional dimension in flat space, and the left-hand side of it is the marginality condition. N is the string level, T is the string tension, E is E, and P is the space-like part of the 10-dimensional momentum. In ADS5, this combination turns into some quadratic combination of charges, which would look like this for a string with one charge, namely J. Well, the idea would be to try to compute these coefficients, A1, A2, up to A5. And then from here extract E. This also assumes that there is no mixing between this particular operator and any other ones. By the way, how much time do I actually have? Until half past. Okay. So this is how it would work for a generic state that has a single charge and it doesn't quite mix with anything. Besides what can be said from sort of Gedanken experiments using vertex operators, there are things that supersymmetry implies. In particular, the fact that all states in a multiplet are related by the action of various powers of Q, where Q here denotes some generic supersymmetry generator. And in particular, the fact that there is a definite commutation relation between the dilatation operator or the scale generator, or the thing whose eigenvalues are E, and all the supersymmetry generators, namely this thing. So various states related by various by the action of various powers of Q are related by simple shifts of by simple constants related to the number of Qs that act. So this is manifestly present to leading order at weak coupling. At strong coupling, this is not seen to leading order because at each string level, because of the independence of curvature, all the energies are the same, namely this n minus 1. However, there is a constant that can appear, which has been assigned to the non-analytic part of the energy, namely this B0. So we can say from this kind of discussion exactly what this B0 is. It's related to the tree level, to the lambda equal zero dimension, by shifts by some universal constant, also called B0, just a different type of B. Now, in terms of vertex operators, this this discussion translates into a particular dependence of the quadratic part, of the part that depends on the energy, on this straight B0 and the tree-level dimension, which looks like this. And one can actually derive this structure by simply starting with a generic quadratic form in charges. The C hat denotes the energy as well as all the other charges in some labeling. So one can start with this and require that the energy differs by such shifts by 1/2. And, in the process, pretty much everything here, all these U's, all these V's, all these H's, either turn out to be zero or turn out to be related to each other. And in the end, everything is expressible in terms of just two of these H's, H0 and H2, which in turn are related to the straight B0 and straight B1 in this way. So this is the other thing that can be said on general grounds. And as far as we know, this is all that can be said on general grounds. So to go further, one needs to pick one of the four or perhaps a fifth approach that was not on that slide. Together with Arkady, we picked the semi-classical approach, namely start with some classical solution and then continue the results to small charges. Now, this, in principle, it's been said in the past that Well, you need to resum the whole perturbation theory, the whole semi-classical expansion, to be able to do that. And indeed, one would actually need to do that. But one can also make a Gedanken experiment and say, gee, I know everything, I can resum everything, and then I make the translation between charge densities J and charges J, and then fix J and re-expand at large lambda. And once you do that, you find that the expansion looks a lot like this. Namely, it starts with what you'd expect, namely the fourth root of lambda. And then at each order in 1 over root lambda expansion, you find that the coefficients are determined by a finite number of semi-classical expansion coefficients. Namely, the leading term, which would be the three-level term, is determined by the three-level term in the semi-classical expansion. The one-loop term, better said, 1 over root lambda term, is determined by the one-loop semi-classical coefficient and the three-level semi-classical coefficient, and so on. So at 1 over root lambda to the power L, you need the Lth order semi-classical expansion coefficient and all the lower ones, but not higher loop ones. There is also a non-analytic part, whose structure looks like that one. There is a constant that comes just from one loop. There is also a 1 over root lambda that comes from one loop and from two loops in the semi-classical expansion, and so on. So this structure is what we will be using, and we'll be computing these coefficients for six solutions that correspond to the six blue dots on that enormous table. So what would be those solutions? You can start picking solutions since there are many, but it is to a large extent very useful to have a guiding principle, and we will use as guiding principle solutions that we want solutions that are related to things that we know in flat space and things that can be identifiable at least in flat space in terms of creation and annihilation operators. So here is such a solution. It has excited just e to I tau plus sigma and e to I tau minus sigma, so it's clear just a minus 1 and a minus 1 tilde that are excited, and some coefficients which tell us essentially the number of such a minus 1s which are excited. So this would be the energy and the angular momentum carried by this solution. So these are classical things. If we want to promote it to a quantum state, then this would be the vertex operator that's natural to write, and the dots stand for fermionic terms that would appear if this is really a vertex operator in the Green-Schwarz string. And if you compute the energy, then it looks like this one. So it's the sum of the two j's that appear here, and then there is a shift by minus 2. This is if you don't impose level matching. If you do, which you should, then these two, J1 and J2s, turn out to be equal, and this is the energy. So if you look which one of these is the state on the first excited string level, then it's just J equals to 2. So starting with this solution, one can contemplate embedding it in ADS5 cross S5, and there are three ways of doing that. Either you put the full solution in S5, in two planes that sit in S5, or you put the whole solution in ADS5, or you put one of these two planes in ADS5 and the other one in S5. And in each of those cases, this is the representation that you'd naturally think of. So this has two angular momenta and the third one vanishing. This has two spins. Two equal spins, and this one has one spin and one angular momentum. Incidentally, there is another state. There could, in principle, be another state which looks like that, but it's a Kausa-Klein descendant. So let's take it from the top. This is how the solution looks like if you embed both planes in S5. Not much changes as far as the sigma and tau dependence. They still look like two plane waves. This would be these would be angular momenta and energy density. So to ensure the right flat space limit, especially if one wants to interpret this as a quantum state, it turns out that one needs to shift by hand this j to be j minus 1. And we will do this both at the classical level as well as in the quantum corrections. So with this thing that has to be done by hand, the procedure is, it's strange, this doesn't quite look like my last set of slides. Anyhow. So with this thing that has to be done by hand, we proceed to compute quantum corrections in the more or less usual way by summing up frequencies. One can certainly do the same thing in a path integral approach, and in this case, the result is identical. So this sum is UV convergent. One can, in principle, compute it. But it's much easier, at least for our purpose, since we're interested in just the pieces that are proportional to square root of j. It's much better to just expand this and do the sums coefficient by coefficient. One has to be, however, a little bit careful, because even though this looks a lot, this looks like an analytic function in j, it's really not. It's not for some particular values of n's, namely these ones, 0, plus minus 1, and plus minus 2. So one has to treat these guys differently. So here is, besides the analytic part in J, here is a non-analytic dependence, which relates to the non-analytic contribution to the energy that appeared earlier. So anyhow, adding everything up, the non-analytic part cancels out completely. The analytic part looks like this. This is the piece that would be of interest to us. This is the piece that would be of interest if one goes beyond one loop. So it actually contains a zeta of 3, which seems to be quite characteristic to these calculations. And you should remember the zeta of 3 at least for a while. So anyhow, putting together the 3 level and the 1 loop, this is what you get. Again, there is no 1 over root lambda dependence. So the non-analytic part in the energy turns out to vanish. And we would expect this to happen even after we include the 2 loop corrections. To interpolate to a quantum state at small charges, one needs to shift this, and we do that. And if you do that, then you find and also if you pick j equal to 2, such that it corresponds to a state in the Konishi descendant in this representation, you find that there are several choices you can make from this table. So this representation, 20200, appears here. It also appears at dimension 6, 20200, and also it appears at dimension 8. So you need to make a choice which one corresponds to this one. And the answer to that question is that it's useful to look in flat space. And in flat space, you notice that it looks a lot like 4 q's, 2 left q's, and 2 right q's acting on the vacuum state of the multiplet. So this suggests that it is an L equals 4 state, so it really represents a delta 0 equal to 4 state. So from here, one can read off the coefficients of the 2 B coefficients that appeared earlier, namely these ones, this B1 and this B0. And they are B1 equals to 1 and B0 equal to minus 4. B2 is vanishing because of the absence of 1 over root lambda. And B3, which did not appear in the equation I just showed you, is supposed to contain zeta of 3 because of this zeta of 3 here. So all in all, this points to this operator being the dual to this solution. So do I still have 8 minutes, or am I counting wrong? Okay, thanks. So the second bit is if you put both planes in ADS5, And in this case, the solution slightly complicates. Namely, it doesn't look anymore like two plane waves, a left moving and a right moving one, though it does look like that to leading order in the spin expansion in small s. This is also how the energy looks like. One sees a lot of curvature corrections, which even though I didn't say it explicitly, let me say it now, they didn't exist for the solution embedded entirely in ADS5, in S5. As before, one needs to make this shift. S goes to S minus 1 to match a flat space quantum state. And because it's really the same solution in flat space, it should still be an L equals 4 solution. So the expectation is that one should find, again, B1 equals to 1 and B0 equals to minus 4. And one can go again through this calculation. One encounters a small subtlety. Namely, if one just sums up frequencies, one finds a strange shift of minus 2 in the non-analytic part. This shift comes from a single fermionic mode. However, it turns out to be just an artifact of representing the one-loop corrections as a sum over frequencies. What if one goes back to the beginnings and does a path integral approach? This shift turns out to go away. So we will pick this particular definition. So with a zero in place, one finds this, and going through the same set of words that I just said before, shift this, pick s equal to 2 to represent the first massive state, one finds this representation. It's at the same n equals to 4. One has only two choices now. This one, because of the relation to the original solution, it's still L equal to 4. And it does follow again that B1 equal to 1, B0 equal minus 4. Even though we did not compute this B2, we expect it to be 0, at least after we include the two-loop corrections. So this all points to this particular operator being dual to the solution. And one can proceed to a solution embedded half in ADS5, half in S5. And the story complicates here even more. So let me skip through the details. And just point to the fact that the non-analytic part turns out to vanish, again to leading order, which is all we care about at one loop. Extracting the analytic part, it also turns out to vanish. So all in all, again, up to 1 over root lambda, the classical energy is exact. And after carrying out this shift, this is what you find. The first massive string level is at s equal j equals to 2. If you read off from this expansion, from this expression, you find, again, b1 equal to 1 and b0 equal minus 4. And with the same expectation that B2 equal to 0 after we include two loops. So these are all the embeddings of this circular string, flat space circular string in ADS5. We found three states that appeared in this at level 4 in the Konishi multiplet. They were the blue ones at that level in Bianchi et al. Table. So there are other solutions one can consider, which are folded strings. This would be the flat space version. The ADS solutions are ADS counterparts of this solution. They are states that sit on the leading Regia trajectory. So this is how the energy of a folded string in ADS looks like. Now the shift that would correspond, that would produce a class, a quantum flat space state is S goes to S minus 2. The references are missing from this slide. It would be S equal to 4, which produces a first massive string state in this representation. So you read off this. You read off from here, B equal to B1 equal to 1. And you read a b naught equal to 2, but if you take into account, this would suggest that this corresponds to a level to a delta naught equal to 6 state. And there is a unique Konishi descendant in this representation, which indeed sits at delta 0 equal to 6. One can take folded strings embedded in different ways, namely entirely in S5 or partly in S5, partly in ADS5, and one can go again through the same story. Here you have there is a unique Konishi descendant in the required representation, namely this one, and the result is consistent with this. Here there are several other choices, but because of the symmetry with the folded string in S5 and in ADS5, one is tempted to pick that this solution is dual to one of the three Konishi descendants in this particular representation, and that would make everything consistent. So this is basically all the evidence that I have that we gathered in saying that the semi-classical results interpolated to small charges suggest that this is the strong coupling expansion for the dimension of the Konishi multiplet, where right. So here all one has to do is pick various delta zeros, and one can scan through the whole table. In general, however, one can say without ambiguity that the coefficients B0 and B1, namely this coefficient here and the coefficient of 1 over 4th root of lambda, are rational, just because the two-dimensional dimension matrix has only rational entries. One can also say without ambiguity that this B3, which would be the coefficient of lambda to the minus 3/4, is transcendental, just because transcendental numbers appear at that order in the two-dimensional dimension matrix. It is natural, from the evidence we have, it is natural to conjecture that this B2 coefficient, namely the coefficient of 1 over root lambda, vanishes exactly. And in general, that the energy is really a constant plus a series in odd powers of the 4th root of lambda. I should also mention that the result I've just described differs from results obtained very recently from the thermodynamic beta ansatz in the y variables by a factor of 2. So I guess Kolya will talk about that tomorrow. But let me just finish by asking the question, how many of these results can be correct? And in fact, there are all possible options at the moment. They can both be correct, but differ by just interpretation. So it is in principle possible that we both are correct, but we are talking about different operators. It is also possible that once the semi-classical interpolation compute is really not the energy, but it's really a correction to a mass. And to construct the energy, one has to do something fancier, like solve an equation of this type, where this is the semi-classical calculation, the result of the semi-classical calculation. However, at the moment, one would have a hard time finding a principle to determine what P and Q are. So I should actually mention here that at the first excited string level, one has the Konishi multiplet as well as all the Kaluza-Klein friends of the Konishi multiplet. And if one scans through the table, one can find representations which appear both in the original Konishi multiplet as well as in the Kaluza-Klein descendant. So in principle, it is possible that while talking about the same representation, we are really talking about different operators. This is just a side comment, really. So I will not speculate what can be wrong with the TBA in Y variables, but I will speculate what could be wrong with our calculation. So for example, this shift that we carried out in principle could be corrected because you know, we know that charges and the relation between charges and charge densities gets corrections, at least at higher loops. So in principle, something like that could happen, which is certainly not visible if one takes the flat space limit. So this is one possibility. In principle, one could contemplate other corrections, like exponential ones, which once summed up and interpolated to small charges could come in. And now, whether none of these results is correct, well, I suppose it's also a possibility. But again, that would go into speculating about what's wrong with the TPA. So let me not do that. And just conclude that still a better understanding of Green-Schwarz in ADS appears to be necessary. Thank you very much.
This approach that you start from classical solutions and then continue to small charges. Of course, your worry, maybe also partially, whether it works really, because there is no direct justification. So what we observed is that even the first coefficient there, the leading coefficient 2, somehow doesn't have. Luckily, all the approaches give 2, but surprisingly for us, it doesn't come from the terms, at least numerically, we observed it. It doesn't come from the terms which would then produce the classical solution in the large charge limit. For L equals 2, for small charges, it appears that all terms contribute the same. And then I ask myself whether at all we can use this quasi-classical approach to fix even the next coefficient.
I'm not entirely sure I can comment, but I can reply with another question. Is it somehow possible that the fact that you see all terms contributing having something to do with, I don't know, going from the usual variables to the TBA variables, taking the mirror? I don't know. It's really a question for both you and Sergei and Gleb. I don't know. Is that a possibility?
No, we observe it in the mirror, of course. But you think it may happen that if you go to the physical variables, okay, it can be checked probably. It's a possibility. And just a question then. How difficult would it be to calculate directly all this from Green-Schwarz string using the marginality condition, which would be the rigorous calculation, of course? Is it possible in the nearest future?
Well, the nearest future is a matter of definition, but...
define it.
It's not easy. Let me put it, it's not easy.
Radu?
Yeah.
In your presentation, I was a bit confused. You speak of the vertex operators and a leading structure and sub-leading corrections, but I didn't really see that you made use of it in the ADS calculation. Is that correct?
We didn't really make use of vertex operators. We made use of just basically the idea that vertex operators should exist. If vertex operators should exist, then there is a notion of dimension for them and marginality condition and so on. We haven't really used more than that.
Okay.
Arkady had a question?
Yes, so what I wanted to just to add to your discussion with Valodia, that in our approach, this 2 lambda 1 quarter is obviously not built in. We are not fine-tuning to that number. This is physically what it should be. And it's obvious that that's the case for these states. So I would guess I would emphasize what you were trying to say, that it would be nice to reformulate your approach so that you see that 2 lambda 1 quarter immediately, which you obviously see in AFS expansion. I'm just saying that should be obvious rather than...
That's what we checked. By the way, I'm wrong. Of course, it wasn't
whether it would come from AFS and a tele for two at short length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that there, of course,
it's... That it doesn't come. Then it's a worry for us, you see. Okay.
I have one question. Anyone hungry?
Yes.
So let's thank Radu again.